Welcome to the Beyond Barriers podcast. When women lead, share performance and profits go up 50%. Results are more powerful when everyone is empowered. This is the insight that brought the four founders of Beyond Barriers together. We came from a diverse set of leadership backgrounds with a common goal: to close the gender gap at work and expand economic opportunities for everyone. Tune in each week as one of us interviews inspiring guests who share stories and cutting-edge strategies that will help you learn what helped them go further, faster.
The most important thing that I emphasize with every client, even with my students, is that the dialect they came to me with is their badge of honor. That's their recipe. That's who they are. Their ancestors did so much work to get them here. And I do not believe in getting rid of who they are at all. And why do we want a world where everybody sounds the same? The same world is everybody looking the same. Everybody needs to bring their uniqueness, their own recipe to the party. And we don't all want to be one. That'd be an incredibly boring world. And it's not just about the way somebody looks, but in the way somebody sounds. So I'm very much into not erasing who people are. We want people to understand you and you to get the confidence to slow down and own the room.
Today's conversation cuts close to the heart of what it means to truly own and celebrate your unique voice in the professional world. I'm your host, Monica Marquez, and I am thrilled to be joined by Jessica Doyle Mekas and Rebecca Simon, who bring a refreshing perspective on the power of preserving one's vocal identity in the face of conformity pressures. Working alongside each other at East Carolina University, they champion authenticity and offer dynamic strategies for mastering public speaking. Rebecca, a former Broadway star turned professor, shares her transformative journey from the stage to the classroom. She inspires individuals to confidently embrace their voices amidst self-doubt through voice and dialect coaching. Alongside her, Jessica has spent the last 15 years studying the science of the human voice. An internationally published writer and sought-after clinician, she focuses on helping women harness their vocal power. This episode will not only change how you think about your voice, but also empower you to use it in a way that honors your heritage and enriches your professional interactions. Visit gobeyondbarriers.com, where you'll find show notes and links to all the resources in this episode, including the best way to get in touch with our special guests. Our conversation with Jessica and Rebecca begins now.
Welcome to the Beyond Barriers podcast. Jessica, Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us today. I am thrilled to have you all here. This is going to be a really great conversation with the two of you because the both of you are experts in voice and all that matters with voice. And we always hear individuals talking about finding their voice, but it takes on a much deeper, more complex meaning when you talk about actually controlling your voice and how you sound and how you can come across more powerful, which I think is so neat because most people don't think about it in that way. They talk about voice in this non-tangible way of, oh, someone's talking over me, this and that. But I love what the two of you are teaching or how you're using your subject matter expertise in how people can actually control and use their voice to command more respect or more kind of confidence in those types of things. So without further ado, I want to dive right into this conversation. And Rebecca, we'll start with you. Can you just share a little bit about who you are, your journey, and then we'll hand it over to Jessica where she can do the same. But then we'd love to hear how the two of you came together and are starting to do amazing, wonderful things.
Absolutely. My name is Rebecca Simon. I'm a professor at ECU, East Carolina University, in case anyone doesn't know what that is. And I teach a myriad of things. I teach voice for the actor. So some people, when they hear voice, just think singing. So I teach speaking voice, and I'm a dialect coach as well. So I teach dialects for the actor. And I teach acting as well. I was an actress for many years, Broadway tours and everything. And I moved here from New York and I'm in love with this place. And my journey has been handed to me in a surprising way. It wasn't something I was looking for. I just thought I'm going to be a performer and that's where my life's going. And in grad school, my teacher and mentor was leaving to head up another program and handed me all of the undergraduate courses. And I said, no. I had, as Jessica puts so beautifully and says this all the time, imposter syndrome. And I think that there's no way I can do this because my initial response to anything when somebody asks me to do something huge, which still happens, is no, I'm not good enough. I can't do this. Right. And I have to come down and be, find some reason and go, yes, I can. I've been studying this. I am important enough. I know this. My voice can be heard as we talk about voice and take on these challenges. And so I took over undergraduate courses while I was doing my master's. And then life just went and more of this work just fell into my lap. Mostly, I think, because I was approachable. I came from a place going, hi, this is weird. Let's try this. I know this is weird. Whereas a lot of teachers who do what I don't admit that or acknowledge it, they'll just go to this planet with me. And I'll say, this is weird, but let's try it. This might work for you. And I think that's why Jessica and I get along so well. We come from this and we're very, we live in the real world in our minds and not on a different planet mostly. So jump forward. I've worked on a lot of Broadway shows as a dialect and vocal coach and professional shows. And then also with film and TV actors. And then just your regular people have sought me out who are people who have English as a second language and have wanted help with dissertations and what have you. And it's, they're nervous to get up in front of people and they want help having confidence. So a lot of what I'm sure what Jessica's going to go into is reclaiming confidence, reclaiming your voice, even if you feel that you're not good enough or your accent is in your way. And a majority of what I've done in my journey is undoing habits, undoing the thought process that people have put upon us to think about ourselves and making sure that we are heard, we're seen, and that you are enough and right to be in that room and be heard. And so much is about lifting them up, especially in a first session. And then I had the fortunate event of meeting Jessica Doyle-Mekas, which I have fallen madly in love with as a human, a teacher. I couldn't respect somebody more in what they do in their field. And surprisingly, Jessica, like other people I have in my life at times going, really, you want to work with me? Came up to me, I think within months of just knowing you. And you're like, you and I are going to do something together. And I still remember that. You're like, we need to team up and take over. And I thought, oh, she wants me. This is amazing. Yes.
No, absolutely. And I remember because we did have Jessica on the podcast before when her book was about to come out. And I was just so fascinated with what she was doing. And then I saw the announcement of the two of you joining forces. And I'm like, ooh, I've really got to understand what's going on here because it sounds fabulous. Jessica, do you want to talk a little bit? Introduce yourself because those they heard you the first time, but I know that there's been lots of changes since then. So would love to hear what's going on with you and the journey so far.
Absolutely. Thank you. So it is wonderful. It's wonderful to be back. I'm Jessica Doyle-Mekas. I also teach at East Carolina University. I also head up the musical theater program there. So Rebecca and I are friends and colleagues, which is really lucky. And I work at the university predominantly with singers. And then in my sort of, that's my, I say by day, that's what I do. And outside of that, I work very specifically with women, harnessing the power of their voices out of their mouth and in their heads. And that really came from the women in my life needing and seeking out on first, just a personal level, some advice, whether they were being taken advantage of at work, they were being underpaid, they weren't being having their mileage and computers and things like that taken care of. And they should have been. These brilliant women are saying, I've been in school 15 years and now I'm at the top of my game and no one ever taught me how to do this. And so that's really what got me thinking was like, okay, well, what are my skills? Well, I know voice science, excuse me. I'm a teacher. I know brain science and learning, and I'm an actor. So I know performance anxiety. Yes. And there seemed at the time to be a lot of literature on public speaking, particularly written by men. There's a couple of great books that have come out since then, mine included, I would say, that focus more on women and are written by women. But, and then there are a lot of books on this idea of empowerment or on the idea of women supporting women and being confident, but there wasn't a lot of crossover in terms of how do I go about it? How do I use my voice? How do I go about sounding confident? And so I wrote I'm Speaking, Every Woman's Guide to Finding Your Voice and Using It Fearlessly, which came out last October. And since then, it's been a whirlwind, but a wonderful whirlwind. I've done a couple of keynotes. I keynoted the Texas Women's Rainmakers Conference, which have to really get rid of your imposter syndrome when you're in a room of trial lawyers.
Yes.
That was wonderful. And I have done some work, with Strata 9, which is a wonderful consulting firm that works with social justice nonprofits mainly. Mm-hmm. And I totally I love Rebecca. And mm-hmm. I also will mirror what she said about me. She's brilliant and she's kind. And I was like, I'm very entrepreneurial and was like, okay, we need to partner up here because really fill in each other's gaps so nicely, where I speak the language of voice science. I like to call it brain science, voice science, and girl power. Mm-hmm. And then Rebecca speaks the language of dialects and mm-hmm. of that idea of whether it's neutralizing regionalisms or it's helping someone to get through a gender barrier or a cultural barrier mm-hmm. that is getting in the way of their authentic voice. And so I felt with our powers combined, we mm-hmm. really have something here. And so exactly. And so that's where this all came from, is that we are friends, we are colleagues, and we're both voice nerds. And so we just are very excited about doing the work. We're very excited about helping women. We're very excited about working with first generation professionals. We have a lot of first generation college students here at ECU. Mm-hmm. We're in a rural area of North Carolina. Our medical school, I believe, is the largest rural serving med school in the country. Mm-hmm. And so we see the importance of professional communication skills. Yes. And we see the absolute need for mm-hmm. early professionals, particularly first generation and non-English second language speakers, to be helped with those skills.
I love that. And diving into the power of communication, right? Because many times that's where things get lost in translation, right? But not only that, it's what you all are talking about of the voice science, the science behind your voice, and how do you sound confident? And so I wanted to Rebecca, talk to you a little bit about, because we work with a lot of women and a lot of BIPOC professionals who are first generation college, first generation corporate, first generation in this, you know, country. And they sometimes have this self-limiting belief that because they may have a heavy accent or something of the sort, that they're already working from a deficit. And I know that you have a subject matter expertise in this idea of dialect. But what are some of the things that you find that some of your ESL clients are struggling with that is something that you work with them first before even getting into the voice or dialect or pronunciation or any of that?
Honestly, the biggest thing, the most important thing that I emphasize with every client, even with my students, is that the dialect they came to me with is their badge of honor. That's their recipe. Yes. That's who they are. Their ancestors did so much work to get them here. And I do not believe in getting rid of who they are at all.
I love that.
I don't
that.
Believe in erasing it. We say neutralizing a regionalism, but that's by choice. So with mm-hmm. every client I work with, I tailor it to what their needs are. When they come to me, I have a very easy conversation, getting to know them, getting them comfortable. And it's all based on what they want. If I have mm-hmm. somebody come to me, I was working with a local meteorologist and who's from Alabama and falls under the BIPOC mm-hmm. umbrella and said, I don't want to get rid of who I am. That's who I am. And I was like, you don't need to. And that's who you are. And even if you go to another market, that's going to be heartwarming to people. And why do we want a world where everybody sounds the same? That's the same world as everybody looking the same.
Yes.
Everybody needs to bring their uniqueness, their own recipe to the party. And we don't all want to be one. That'd be an incredibly boring world. And it's not just about the way somebody looks, but in the way somebody sounds. So what mm-hmm. I work on is we want people to understand you, slow down and mm-hmm. own the room. Most people don't, because they have such a loss of confidence because of their accent, is that most of the work is just being able to speak up, taking their time, standing on their feet in alignment, owning their body and not feeling they have to apologize and just the way that they're standing and taking the time to breathe. They're so nervous and the nerves have taken over from their speaking and has a lot to do with why we don't understand them, or they've taken on a pill Rich and Jessica can attest to this. They've taken on a pitch that they think is acceptable for a female to speak at a certain pitch because mm-hmm. what they were, you know, taught by in their culture, instead of dropping into maybe who they really are and wherever that sits for each individual person, but they're scared finding mm-hmm. where their voice sits, who they naturally are. So a lot of it doesn't have to do with, yes, we can work dialect, but so much is about what do you want to keep and what do you want to hold on to and what do you want to do to make sure you're understood. And even if it's in their dialect, it's just maybe let's make sure we hit that consonant so they yeah. understand what you're talking about. We're not necessarily changing yeah. their vowels, and we're not taking away your badge of honor of who you are and what makes you unique and beautiful and amazing and an addition to this world to, mm-hmm. to change it. Accepting of all. So I'm very much into not erasing who people are, because that would be incredibly boring.
I love that. And that's part of the reason, after doing research, it was one of those things that we teach here as well, is that we want you to acculturate, but not assimilate. We don't want you to assimilate yeah. and become somebody you're not. And so I love what you're doing is in terms of preserving who they are, but just helping them with a few things that helps them come across more confident. I love that. Yeah. Jessica, yeah. I want to turn to you and I want to ask a little bit about, you talked about the idea of like performance, right? Mm-hmm. And I always remind people, every time you're presenting or every time you're having a courageous conversation, you need to think about it in almost in a sense of a mini performance, right? Of how are you going to present. It's one of those things where we tell people you sometimes even need that power identity that you stand sit in, right? Can you talk a little bit about that, about how you've talked about the same thing around making sure of how are you going to sound? How do you own that voice? And then how do you come across with confidence?
Absolutely. So I think the first thing with owning your voice is you have to know what you sound like. And mm-hmm. if you've ever heard yourself on a recording and thought, ooh, that's not me, then you know that the voice that comes out of your mouth that your audience hears and the voice that's in your head are two different things, mm-hmm. right? We have yes. all these extra vibrations that happen inside our heads that get conducted to our inner ear. And so if you want to know how you sound and then go about making any kind of adjustments to that, first, you have to record. And luckily, we live in the age, well, luckily or not luckily, we live in the age of smartphones.
Yes.
Everyone has a microphone, they have a camera right on their hip most of the time. And so I think first, it's for many women, it's doing that and coming at it as a coach might, rather than going, oh, I hate the way I sound, or mm-hmm. I look unattractive, or I really need to dye my roots, or oh, it's so annoying, and getting rid of that stuff and thinking of it more analytically. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I write about in the book is, here is a worksheet of all of the common issues that I see women having with their voices, or common critiques of women's voices. Mm-hmm. So do I speak too fast? It's like a tightrope, right? Sheryl Sandberg talks about the tightrope. Mm-hmm. It's a yeah. tightrope with your voice. Is it too shrill? Is it too breathy? Are you too meek, or are you too abrasive? Are you too loud? Are you too soft? Whatever it might be. And so then what I would suggest is, giving your talk or even just reading a paragraph mm-hmm. and going through and just noting, okay, what do I hear? And am I too fast? Do I talk too slow? Am I taking too many pauses? And whatever it might be, now, okay, these are the things that I need to adjust. Mm-hmm. But know that and feel confident about how you sound until you actually know how you sound. And it's the same thing with physicality. We all have, since birth, what's called the somatic Rolodex, which is just a catalog of all of the movements mm-hmm. that we have done. And the movements that are repeated get pushed to the front of the Rolodex. And mm-hmm. it doesn't really matter if they're good for us or if they're not. It's just that they're repeated, right?
Right. So
my dad is a wonderful golfer. His golf swing is at the front of the Rolodex. My terrible golf swing, which I've never worked on, is also at the front of the Rolodex, but it's not getting any better, right?
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of speakers, particularly when we get nervous and we're aware of being in front of other people, there's all these weird physical habits that start to show up where all of a sudden one shoulder is riding higher than the other,
right.
or you're only gesticulating with one hand, and I can use myself as an example. One of the very first talks I gave, this was back during COVID, And I was talking about speaking clearly. And when I went back and listened to the recording, I was making this sound every single time I took a pause. And it was just because I didn't want to say and, but I'm totally not aware of it. So there's, you have to be aware first and face the music of watching that recording and then think, okay, great. This is my starting point. Just like Rebecca said, here's what I like, here's what I want to emphasize, and here are the things that I think need to be changed. And the other part of that is that most women, and that's what the data tells us, is that most women feel this way. And I stated in my book, KPMG did a poll of the 750 women who attended their leadership summit, and 75% of them said they suffer from imposter syndrome. And these are all C-suite level executive. It makes me feel relieved a little bit because I'm like, okay, I'm not alone. But it's also deeply disappointing. This is like, why? Why do we all feel this way? And I think a lot of it is because our culture, the system was not made. It was not made for women. And that's everything from technology and audio equipment on up. And I think that when you're used to being quiet, just speaking at a normal volume is going to feel loud. When you're used to not asking questions, asking that first question is going to feel like you're taking up someone's time. It's going to be uncomfortable at first to go from being small to taking up space, even if the space you're taking up is just a normal amount of space, it's still going to feel uncomfortable and new. And I think many women feel that way.
Being aware of how you sound, but more importantly, being aware of some of those, we can call them, like you said, habits or tics or things that we do that we're unconsciously doing when we're nervous, right? Of, are you shaking your leg? Are you tapping something? Are you distracting from what you're saying? That's part of it too. And it has nothing to do with voice, but it's just like you said, these, the physiological things that we're just doing unconsciously, I think is another powerful thing. Rebecca, I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned how you even tell people just slow down, because I think when we get nervous, some people will talk really fast, or they'll even start stuttering, or they'll lots of filler words or just ramble on because they're so nervous. Can you talk a little bit about how you get people to slow down, that it gives them time to think? What are some of the things that you see get in people's way immediately that are almost nothing to do with the way they sound or how they speak, their accent, but some of those things that get in the way?
Well, and off of what Jessica said, so much of the work I do is with the body and physical work, because just off of what she said, it's all about undoing habitual tensions. So if somebody, I talk to my classes, my clients about this, it's going to be really uncomfortable at first. If somebody their entire life has been walking this way, their entire life, this is normal for me. I say, can I adjust you? And you're this way. They're like, that's so weird. This is so, I don't like being this way. This feels completely unnatural. Just standing up if someone's used to this way. To us, it looks normal. To them, they have been stuck in a habitual pattern. And so many clients, students are stuck in habitual patterns. And most of those have been acquired through their puberty, the formative years, whether it was feeling insecure, whether it was bullying. So a lot of what I talk about is we were free, a majority of us as a baby, where we're like, whoa, and we made these sounds and we made all kinds of big sounds. Jessica can attest with her kids, loud sounds and unapologetic, and just they roar. And if they want something, a baby will scream and scream till it gets it for hours and hours. It's the pang and the life and death need. But it's the most supported sound to some on a plane or in public. It could be like, the piercing sound in my ears. But it's the most supported, healthy sound, even though it doesn't sound that way to our ears, because they know what they want and that life and need pang is there. And then what happens in life is people get shut down, told things by others. Children should be seen, not heard. I hear a lot of, or do this, do that, or you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't talk so much. You'd be polite, do this. And it's not saying we should all run around not polite people, but But we've shut down, myself included, the middle school years did a job on me and my body literally became like this. And I went into a shell. I was a kid that was like, ah, and then I became insular. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn how to get out of those habits. Mm-hmm. And then getting out of those habits is how your voice works. Because when you are this way, you're collapsing on your breathing mechanism. Your body, things are not going to work. And exactly what Jessica said is what I come into contact with, again, students, clients, everybody. I always say, so when you were working on your presentation, your interview, your audition, and you were in your bedroom alone, your car, wherever your private place was, your bathroom, was it amazing? You're like, yes. Was it the same when you got in front of the audience? No, it was horrible. Why do you think that happened? You gave the power over to everybody else. So my entire work is take the power back. Why are you giving the power to those people? And we need to reclaim our power and take it back and do it for you. Do it for yourself. Stop giving away your power to those people. They're not important enough for them to make you shudder and feel all that. And then those things that Jessica talked about, students will hold their hands like this, or they'll have a flapping arm, or something will happen, or a tick. And you're like, did that happen when you were in your bedroom, in your bathroom? No, I don't know what took over, but an alien took over my body. Why did that happen? And we get to the bottom of it. And why are we letting that happen? Why are we letting that happen? So go through that. And we go through a series of exercises to free the body and free all the different things that can get in our way without letting somebody take over the power of our thinking and the power of how we feel. And also giving, I keep saying Jessica because we share a brain, giving the tools to fake confidence even when you don't have it, myself included. And just as Jessica does, I fall into these traps myself. I'm still a work in progress. I'm not perfect. Nobody is. There's no such thing. I do things all the time and I'll go, why did I just do that? I don't teach that. I just did what I tell my students.
Right,
not
right.
To do.
We do that all the time. Yeah.
Yes. I let them get the best of me and I just did that. And I just preached to the students not to do that. But the tools to even if you don't believe in yourself, fake that confidence and how to do that, even just within the body of standing up and the power of the pause. And how slowing down, I talk a lot about famous speakers who will have everyone in the palm of their hand because of the way they speak slowly and they make people wait for them. And that immediately exudes confidence. But when someone rushes, it makes the other person more important. You're giving away your power and you're rushing for them. But if you take the power back, you're like, no, I have all the time in the world and you will sit and listen to me. It takes the power back.
Yes. I love that. I love that tip. It's so tangible, but you can hear it even when you are modeling it, right? And you can hear it where it's just like you're waiting for the next word. And the other is almost a little bit of when you rush, it's almost like that whole fight, flight, freeze or fawn. And you're almost fawning. Oh, let me hurry up. I don't want to waste your time. So what I have to say is not that important kind of thing. I think that was so powerful of slowing down and just saying, I have something really important to say. So give me all of your attention. I think that's powerful.
You're not giving yourself time to breathe. Pausing is always an option. Remember the power of the pause.
Yes.
So I love that.
I love that. I love that.
What if you knew exactly where to focus to go further, faster? Imagine having clarity on your strengths and barriers and the ability to take action and gain unstoppable momentum to deliver results in advance. Take the Beyond Barriers Momentum Metric quiz to get a personalized report on the 5 C's, core categories used to measure and accelerate success. Visit gobeyondbarriers.com/quiz to get your report today.
Rebecca shared a little bit about the idea of fake it till you make it, right? Or really being able to get that power identity or the power stance or the physiology of just making yourself bigger so that you feel like you are seen. Can you talk a little bit about that? About what do you tell people before they go out on stage or before they get in front of that podium? What should they be thinking in their minds the 5 or 10 seconds before then so that they can command the room once they get in there?
Sure. So I think it relates to, there's two major reasons that I see that we have anxiety around speaking publicly or presenting. And the first one is if you have social anxiety. I mean, if you have some sort of an anxiety tendency or disorder, being in front of people is going to bring it out, right?
Yes.
And the second is being unprepared. And that's something where I think the majority of people who want to speak and want to present don't realize how much work goes into knowing your material, right?
Yes.
So winging it is for the birds. You need to not tell clients, tell me about your favorite movie. Tell me about your favorite book, your favorite recipe, your best friend. Tell me about the thing that you love and that you've spent so much time on that you can answer any question, the blooper reel, the other movies that the actor has been in, when they left the Starbucks cup on the scene in Game of Thrones, whatever it is, right? You know all of those details. That's how well you need to be able, you need to know your material. And that's where feeling really comfortable and finding that confidence is going to come from. So something I say to my students is, if you're doing a monologue, if you're giving a speech, if you're singing a song, if it's a solo, why doesn't anyone cut you off? And the answer is because the playwright or the composer didn't write for anybody to cut you off. But if it was real, if this was real life, why doesn't anybody cut you off? And the answer has to be that what you're saying is so important and you're speaking with so much conviction and passion that you don't give them a chance to. And I think that's the thing to remember, is that you have to go out there and know your material so well and make it your jam, make it that you're excited to share this, right? That you don't give the audience a chance to lose their focus on you. And then right before going out on stage, I recommend clients and students create a ritual. And it, I equate it to a basketball player who's shooting a free throw, you know, dribble, spin, shoot idea. That whatever it might be for you, for me, it's definitely a deep breath and the fight, freeze, fawn, the nerve endings that activate that system are at the top of our lungs. And the nerve endings that activate the rest and digest are at the bottom of our lungs. So when we get nervous, we tend to hyperventilate. We tend to breathe very shallowly, right? The other thing is, particularly as women, we often wear shapewear. We often are told to suck it in, right?
Yes.
And so the thing is, we are forcing just the upper part of our lungs to inflate when we breathe, which is constantly activating that sympathetic nervous system. So we're actually putting ourselves in a constant state of panic by breathing shallowly. Whereas if we think about taking a full breath and allowing the diaphragm to contract and allowing the ribs to fully expand, we are actually activating the nerve endings of the parasympathetic nervous system. It takes about an hour for the parasympathetic nervous system to take over, but the sympathetic nervous system is like that.
Right.
So you're going on stage, it's important before you do so that you start thinking about your breathing in that hour before it's time, so that you're activating those nerve endings so that you don't get as nervous when you're standing backstage. So one would be breath. Two, I would say, is just reminding yourself that you can, right? And then also, and I'm going to steal this from Jonathan Groff, who's a Broadway performer who played in Hamilton. He was the king in Hamilton. And I show this video in my class all the time. And he said, sometimes he goes, I walk off stage and I just have to think, I forgive myself for that. I forgive. That was not it. It was not it today. And you know what? I'm going to forgive myself for that. And I think there has to be that too, that this isn't life and death. Public speaking is scary, but it's not brain surgery, right? Nobody is on the line here. And so I think going into it also and knowing your material and also with the mindset that like, this is going to go well. And then if it doesn't, it's going to, but if it doesn't, it's going to be okay. Right. Like, I'm going to let that go. And then I'm going to move on to the next thing.
And that is so powerful. And it's so funny that the breathing in terms of the shapewear, sometimes not really thinking about how that impacts you. And it's so true. And it was one of those things that even, you know, myself, when I used to perform, I remember all of my vocal coaches were like, sorry, you can't, like, don't wear the Spanx, don't wear the, you're going to restrict yourself, or you're going to have to compensate in a different way. But I never thought about it, even in public speaking, of how much that really does matter, the whole breathing and what you're activating and what you're not activating. I want to ask this for both of you, because I wonder if there's different answers. We get a lot where women, for the most part, we see sometimes, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's regional or it's just taught, but the concept of upspeak and the upspeaking at the end where they may be saying something and then they leave it there and you're always wondering if they're asking questions. How would each of you, and maybe it's the same way, but how do you help individuals be more aware of that, and how do they remedy it? How would you fix the upspeak that so many get caught up in doing for some reason?
So the first thing is you have to be aware of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that would come from having a conversation, having a session, and just recording it. And mm-hmm. the client knows it's being recorded, but perhaps not for that purpose. And mm-hmm. then being able to evaluate and point out, okay, here's what's happening. Here's what this sounds like. All right, are you aware? Are you aware that you do that? And then I like to use visuals, and I also like to use like physical, like this, mm-hmm. think about we're taking the pitch up, we're mm-hmm. taking the pitch down, right? And to actually have them physicalize that idea of that end of the sentence that we're driving all the way through the end of the sentence, as opposed to swinging it up at the end, right? Mm-hmm. And I really think, and the research tells us that upspeak is like over-apologizing. It's something that women yes. often do because we feel like it's a safety net. We feel like just in case they don't believe me, or just in case they don't like what I have to say, I'm going to come off a little bit kinder. I'm going to come off a little bit softer or a little bit unsure. And that's going to make everybody feel more comfortable around me. And it's mm-hmm. the same thing with apologizing. I'm going to give myself that safety net. And what mm-hmm. they don't realize is that you're not giving yourself a safety net. You're not making anyone more comfortable. You're setting the expectation that you're not in charge and that what you have to say doesn't really matter, right? Mm, so you're yes. setting the expectation that you're going to screw up when you apologize for something. The same way with upspeak, you're setting the expectation that you don't know what you're talking about because it's Thursday. Well, is it? Do you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I love that. Rebecca, anything you'd like to add or what?
I agree 100%. I deal with it in questions. So when people mm-hmm. do it, it's like, why'd you ask that question? Why weren't you sure of it? Can you do it again mm-hmm. and try it mm-hmm. and be more confident and sure of it instead of questioning? But what's interesting about upspeak, yes, I see that. But what I see more often, to be totally honest, is downgliding. It's called off-gliding, downgliding. Mm-hmm. I see people the ends of their sentences and phrases all the time. They start out strong and then they just veer off and they give up. And I go, why'd you give up at the end? You could have taken mm-hmm. a breath. You were running out of breath. And then why did you deflate? And that is more of a problem in my work than upspeak. Mm-hmm. So for example, in acting, we always say, what do you want? You have to want something. What's your objective? But even with somebody who is a non-actor, what is your objective when you say that? What do you want from them by saying this? And simply, I want it, having somebody say, I want it. Well, most of the times I have people say, I want it. I'm like, do you? But if you added that T, how much more would that change it? And they'll go, I want it. I want it. And I'm like, oh, you really want it. You mean business. This is awesome.
Yes.
You're confident now. But when you go, I want it. Do you want it? I didn't really get that you wanted it. And just by adding that final T in the energy, it goes through the roof and you're asserting something for yourself. I see that more often.
There's the upspeak that we see quite a bit, but you're right. And I don't know, sometimes I used to attribute it to the lack of confidence, or they weren't really sure about like their answers. So they're just trailing off and like almost mumbling it. So they're like, it's almost, wait a minute, what? So I see that as well. So I'm so glad you brought that up, because some people may not have the upspeak, where we see it predominantly, a lot of times it's being pointed out for our female. But I do can tell you right now that a lot of our BIPOC professionals, the males, will do this, like what you're talking about, this deflating or going downward, where it's almost like they swallow their words at the end and you don't really know what was their final objective or what was the point they were trying to make. So I think that's a powerful one too. It's phenomenal. I attribute so much. It wasn't until I think I met you, Jessica, or was following you, that I realized that there were so many things that I probably naturally just, you know, I was accustomed to the performance and to like the diction. So when I presented, I didn't realize that for me, it was always a performance and just bringing in some of those tools that I have always used. But for me, it wasn't until someone pointed it out that we're like, well, you're used to performing. And I'm like, I guess you're right. There are so many things that can be, you know, taught. And then that's when I came across you, Jessica, and you were coming out with your book. And I'm like, this is phenomenal because this can actually help so many other people when they're told you have to work on communication. And immediately in, you know, the workplace or when you're receiving this as part of your performance feedback, when they're telling you you need to communicate better, you're thinking it's the words that I'm saying or the messages that I'm, but it's also just the way you say it, the performance of the way you say it could actually close the gap. And so I think it's so powerful. I'd love to hear from each of you, just if someone leaves this podcast, if there's something that they can implement tomorrow or even today, what would be two things, Jessica, you would share, two tips, and Rebecca, what are two tips you would share with individuals so that they feel like, okay, like my next meeting is going to be that much better because I'm conscious of these two things?
Mine would be, one is start breathing deeply early. So if you, mm-hmm. if you have that meeting, make sure you're starting to really think about those low, big breaths an hour before you go in. And my second would be practice by role playing. So get a partner and try to set up the exact situation as close as you can get it to what you're going to be in. Because oftentimes what we're afraid of is not what will happen, but what might happen. And so if we can work with someone, work with your partner, work with your friends, work with your child, sit down and have them have their cell phone ring, have them ask question that's way off base, have someone come in and interrupt you. And that way, what might happen, you become ready for those things and you know how your body is going to respond to it.
I love that. It's just like in performance, the dress rehearsal, right? We do the whole full like rehearsal so that you can get the feeling of the lights and just getting the words out of your mouth and all of those types of things. I think that's phenomenal. Rebecca, what would you love to add?
Yeah, I have a mantra that I have my students say, and I'd love to take credit for all of it, but it's, I've put it together from different people that have inspired me, that people that I've looked up to, voice practitioners through the years, performers, what have you. And I have them close their eyes. I also tell them to find their feet. We forget we have feet in the moment and to ground themselves. A big quote is finding their feet. That's not part of the mantra, but to close their eyes, to stand, to find their feet, because the floor is not going to go anywhere. So when those nerves come in, just remember the floor is there, find your feet, there's the support. And then the mantra I have them do slowly, one at a time, these words, isolating them, is just playing with the word I over and over again, the word I. And then I add in, just play with the word am, however they say am, if it's am, and then me. Have them put them all three together and say, I am me. And then we add on to that. We say, I am me. And then I have them repeat, I am enough. I have the right to breathe and I have the right to speak. And so they do that. And then we slowly take that in and open our eyes and are ready to work.
I love that. And it's like the affirmations as well of what they're telling themselves, but it's also making them slow down when they're saying those things. And it's almost kind of modeling how they're going to present when they start speaking. I think that's so powerful. So just in tradition of Beyond Barriers, we always have these lightning round questions at the end. And so I'm going to split them up. I won't put you both on the spots, but I will for the last question. But I'd love to hear from you, Jessica, what book has greatly influenced you in life and in work?
Oh, I love Liz Gilbert's Big Magic, her book called Finding Creativity in Everyday Life. That would be at least the latest one that I've been really into.
Fantastic. Rebecca, what is your favorite inspiring quote or saying?
Oscar Wilde's, be yourself, everyone else is already taken.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I love it. And it's so in line with what you do and share with and coach people on. Jessica, what is one change, a habit, behavior, an action that you implemented that made your life better?
Getting up early. I used to be a night owl, and well, part of it's because I have kids and I had to get up early, but now I really enjoy the morning. And I find that knowing what part of the day I am most productive and then making myself more productive during that time has been a game changer.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And I think it's so powerful. Like you said, knowing when you are more productive or just being intentional on making that space as powerful. Rebecca, what is one word or moniker you would use to describe yourself?
That's a hard one. I want to use two and break the rules.
Do it. The moniker can be more than one word. Yeah.
Unique, but also empath, which is a good thing and a bad thing. Get in my way.
Yes. It's very, it can be resourceful, but unresourceful if you cross the line. Yeah. So I love it. Yeah. But you're aware. So that's good. And then finally, I'm going to ask both of you this one, Jessica, in the context of just getting confidence and getting like yourself built up before you got on stage, what is the power song you would want playing as you walk out onto that stage?
Oh, right now it's Lizzo's About Damn Time.
I love it. Yes. That's an awesome one. Yes. Rebecca, how about you? What is that power song that just gets you going?
Yeah, it changes with time, but right now it's Fight Song, Rachel Platt.
Fight Song. I love it.
And
yeah, it's one of those things that like, yes, it just puts you in that powerful persona, that identity that you are ready to take your power back. Well, ladies, this was such an amazing conversation, and it was just a really amazing, insightful conversation around communication, deeper than most people think. I think it's so complex. Of communication isn't just about the words coming out of your mouth or what it is that you're going to say, like the script. It's like how you're going to say it, how you're going to appear when you say it, and how you're going to command all that your message, the point is heard. So I love what you said, Rebecca. How much do you want it? Do you really want it? Make sure that people understand it. So thank you guys. I appreciate your time, and we look forward to staying connected. But I know that our listeners will also want to understand, like, how do they get more coaching? Because some people don't even think about, they think about executive coaches and coaches to help them with their career, et cetera. But some people may not have ever considered a voice coach or a communications coach. And so how would someone get in contact with you? How would they find either of you?
Sure. My website is just my name. Jessica Doyle Meck is all one word, no hyphen. So that's where you can find it, or on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Rebecca?
I'm on LinkedIn as well. And I also have a website, RebeccaSimonVoice.com.
Awesome. Well, fantastic. Thank you, ladies. And good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Beyond Barriers podcast. There are thousands of podcasts out there, and we are so grateful that you've chosen to listen to ours. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and tell a friend, or share what you've learned on LinkedIn and tag us. We love hearing from our audience. Visit us at gobeyondbarriers.com, where you can subscribe and find show notes, links, and the best way to connect with our guests.